This is the Sunday of the year when we feel within our hearts and within the world how we swing between pious praise for God and murderous rage that we don't even know the source of within our hearts. The gospel reading today went from that joyous, thronging, sunlit entrance into the city of Jerusalem, hailing Jesus as king, to the cruel, grim, thronging, mocking of Christ within a government building owned by soldiers who routinely tortured condemned prisoners. They tortured them and they made fun of them for their crimes. King of the Jews was the accusation by which Christ was deemed a threat to the Roman occupiers. And that was the cry on the lips of both the sunny crowds and the shadowed soldiers. Temple leaders passed the job on to the Sanhedrin, which was the local political leaders. And they passed it on to the colonial ruler of Israel, Herod, who passed it on to the colonial representative, Pilate, who blamed the colony itself as he went along, all right, and imposed a death penalty to Jesus the Christ. In the history of the church, the Christian church, Christians have blamed the Jewish people and persecuted them for the death of Christ. But when you and I read the story this morning, as Mark wrote it for us, we know that there is no one to blame but ourselves, that we are part of the crowds that said, "Hail," without understanding him, and we are part of the scheming religious authorities who found Christ inconvenient for continuing things as they are, justifying themselves. And to some varying degree, each of us are part of the powers that want to hold on to whatever advantages we have at the expense of anybody else. Mark begins his gospel, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in the Passion account, Mark means, by the Holy Spirit, to make us see that we are part not just of Christ dying, but of putting him to death as well. We are guilty of rejecting him and trying to do away with Christ. Mark is the gospel writer who leaves the ending open. He says, "And they were afraid," and ends it right there. But Mark is telling us the gospel, so this is a story about what Christ did for us and is doing for us. This morning, I want to suggest to you that we are not part of the throngs around Christ saying, "King of the Jews," nor are we the soldiers mocking and ridiculing him. But let us be that patient beast who was his only companion that day, the donkey. Smelly, loud, and poopy. That is where we are as a companion to Christ. Donkey was the only creature there who understood what Christ was doing. Neither the palms nor the mocking were appropriate for the King of Glory. No one knew who Christ was. No one knew the love and the obedience that was in his heart. Nobody knew what the kingdom of God was. Only the blameless donkey was his companion. And I believe the donkey was a comfort to Jesus. That solid beast was with Jesus while all around him. Nobody knew anything about what they were doing or what was happening to Jesus. The crowds, they were rooting for their colonial masters to be overthrown. Who wouldn't? and for their own nation to be reestablished, not knowing that the cleansing of the nation would be the cleansing of their own hearts, and that the rest of the world was going to be a part of that kingdom, not just for us, but for everyone. They didn't listen to the words of Christ, and they didn't trust in him. They were swept along with the crowd. The same way the soldiers, they did what their superiors expected them to do. They were expected to amplify the guilty verdict, the death penalty, by mocking and torturing the condemned prisoners. They took their part. The cohort Mark mentions would have been about 600 soldiers. Now, Mark doesn't say they were all there, but even a fraction of 600 people, when you're a prisoner and you're bound and your eyes are covered and you're in the middle of a cruel group, would have been terrifying. The soldiers, they were swept along. They did what was expected. Some of them enjoyed it. Some of them didn't want to, but went along. And there must have been a few who stood outside the group. This isn't right. This isn't right. But they didn't say anything. They were all a part of the mocking Christ. I don't believe Christ enjoyed the palms. Maybe that's heretical. I don't think he enjoyed all that. And surely he did suffer with the thorns. He had the crown of thorns on his head, and then they beat him with a reed or a stick so that it went deeper into his head. And they were making fun of him and spitting on him. And you know how crazy it makes each of us to be looked down on, to be humiliated, to be mocked. Oh, we can do things we normally wouldn't do when we're mocked and humiliated. We can be driven to all kinds of actions. Surely that was a painful experience for him, even though he had nothing in him. He had no violence in him to go, "Why are you doing that to me?" He didn't do that, but he received the suffering of it. He could see how the crowds were careless. They didn't really love God. They didn't have a commitment to the God of the covenant. And he could see the young men, the soldiers. He must have felt sorry for them, being led down such a path of careless violence. They were just serving the people in power. There was nothing for them in that violence. And over these 2,000 years, the church has thought much about what Christ suffered that day, how much he suffered as God to be with sinners who mocked him, how much as a man, physically and emotionally. Certainly, the remembrance of Christ's passion is endless. We are guilty of Christ's death. We are sinners who need redemption. And we are sinners who want him out of our lives. And we want to push him out of the world. However, this morning we gather to love and thank God for all that Christ has done for us. Suppose you were to sacrifice your life for someone you dearly love. Suppose you sacrifice your health. Suppose you sacrifice everything you have. And the rest of their life, the person that you sacrificed for, sat in a dark room, hating themselves, paralyzed because you had given up so much for them and they were so unworthy and they just couldn't move the rest of their life in paralysis. Would you be pleased with having given your life for someone and they couldn't take it? They couldn't live. The gospel is life. We are in death, and Christ took that death in our place, and now we are to live. We are to take the life that God gave us. The better we understand the gospel, the freer of guilt and shame we will be. For that reason, Christ died. Not that we would be so sad for our sins the rest of our life. Now, I'm not saying, because don't worry about it. We are sad for our sins, but Jesus wants to break us out of that. He's not pleased if we're paralyzed. Can we believe this morning, not just in deliverance for our little group, not just in deliverance for the people we love, but for all the people of the world? Can we believe this morning not just be bound to unthinkingly either praise or mock those condemned by others, but to choose peace and courage and truth and to choose life, choose life. Can we let the burden of our very real sin, as well as the burden of guilt, some real, some imaginary, some just self-indulgence, roll off our shoulders this morning in front of the cross? Can we take what Jesus did for us and break free because of the cross? That would be a very joyous Palm Sunday indeed. Doesn't she sing? I beg your pardon. Wait, what? The song doesn't come first? Look at your bulletin, you'll see the responses for the communion service liturgy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us confess our faith. 1 Chronicles 29. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, O God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name.
They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting,
Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in highest heaven.
A riot among the people. Jesus said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but your will be done. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name.
Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him, there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now, the praetorian had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. So when he came, he went to him at once and said, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him.
Came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, Listen, he is calling for Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb